Chapter 5. Uncle Jake, we were just out there and we nearly got stomped to death by the Scarlet Hand's goons, Sabrina said. If we walk through the forest, we won't come back.
We're not going to walk, he replied, as he shuffled unsteadily toward the courtyard. Come on.
The girls left Red Riding Hood in her hiding place and followed Uncle Jake to Prince Charming's cabin. It was empty except for the two magic mirrors. Once inside, he lit one of the oil lamps.
Briar Rose didn't come in with any of the refugees. We're taking the flying carpet to find her. Daphne, you can steer it better than me, even when I'm 100%. Sabrina, I need your help too. My arm feels like a dead limb. You can keep me from falling off the carpet.
It's dangerous out there, Sabrina said.
Which is exactly why I need to find Briar. Something's wrong. She and the fairy godmothers would have come here already, especially if the town is as bad as everyone is saying.
Maybe they're leaving her alone, Sabrina said.
The Scarlet Hand? Leaving my girlfriend alone? Not likely, Brina. Listen, I know there could be trouble, so if you or your sister want to bail, I'll understand. I'll find a way to manage.
I'm in, Daphne said.
Sabrina weighed the options.
On the one hand, she knew that letting Daphne go by herself would win her points with her sister. Daphne would see this as a vote of confidence. On the other hand, if she didn't go, Daphne and her wounded uncle would be flying into a war zone all by themselves. If something happened to them, she'd never forgive herself. It was decided. Daphne's forgiveness would have to wait. Again.
Let's do it, Sabrina said.
They crept through the Hall of Wonders and to the back door that led to the Room of Reflections. Once there, they asked Mira to retrieve the magic carpet for them. Then they tiptoed back the way they came and into the fort. Guards were milling about but gave them no trouble, though they became alarmed when Uncle Jake unrolled the carpet and climbed aboard.
Charming has ordered that no one leave the camp, a guard pleaded.
Charming isn't the boss of us, Daphne said,
then turned her attention to the rug.
Up!
The elegant Persian rug rose into the air, its tassels rippling with the evening breeze. Sabrina couldn't help admiring the intricate weaving of the carpet, and focusing on it prevented her from getting vertigo as they were suddenly propelled skyward. When the rug had cleared the high walls of the fort, Daphne instructed it to take them to Briar's coffee shop, Sacred Grounds. In their previous experiences with Aladdin's rug, they had learned that it seemed to know where everything was and the best way to get there. At Daphne's instruction, the rug jolted forward, nearly knocking Sabrina over the edge. Her uncle grabbed her hand just in time.
"You're supposed to make sure I don't fall off," he reminded her.
"Sorry," she said. "This thing really needs seatbelts."
"It's easier if you sit down," Daphne explained over the wind.
Jake and Sabrina took her advice and found she was right. The more relaxed they were, the better the ride became. Still, it was hard not to be nervous. The quarter moon did little to illuminate the forest below, so sailing above it was like drifting over a black abyss. Sabrina watched the treetops nervously. The refugees' stories of the Scarlet Hand's army had made her paranoid, and she feared what might rocket out of the darkness below. She imagined the hideous roar of a jabberwocky as its tiny wings lifted it up to devour them in midair. If there was any comfort in the trip, it was that it became clear to Sabrina that Prince Charming's camp was hidden deep in the woods, and it would be very difficult for the enemy to find. Uncle Jake seemed to read her mind.
"You forget that sometimes under all his arrogance, the prince is brilliant. I doubt that those hobgoblins could ever find the place. Still, the refugees should be getting ready just in case."
"You think they should fight back?" Daphne said.
"Absolutely. Will they win? That's another question entirely. They're completely outnumbered, and even if they did manage to raise an army, it would consist of elderly witches and princesses who have spent most of their lives being waited on hand and foot. There's only a few of them that have any wits about them at all."
Sabrina knew her uncle was referring to his girlfriend, Briar Rose. She was a lovely woman, and the basis for the famous story of Sleeping Beauty. But unlike a lot of the royalty Sabrina had met, Briar was a resourceful woman.
Sabrina had come to think of her, Snow White, and Granny Relda as role models. She set her hand on her uncle's good shoulder.
We'll find her.
I hope.
We will,
Daphne said, steering the rug westward.
We're Grimms. This is what we do.
So, perhaps we should discuss our cover story for your father, Jake said. The girls looked at one another nervously.
You want us to lie to Dad? Sabrina asked.
No, of course not, their uncle said, then thought for a moment. Actually, yes, I want all of us to lie to your father. He's being a bit of a jerk.
You noticed that too? Daphne said.
Hank was always the high-strung one. He can be very stubborn, too. But your dad is only trying to protect you both. He's not exactly polite about it, but it's the only way he knows to keep everyone alive. He gets that from your grandfather. I'm more like Mom in a lot of ways. Impulsive.
No, you?
Sabrina said with a grin. Uncle Jake laughed. Guilty as charged.
I've never seen Dad like this, ever, Daphne said. She's right. Mom and Dad have always been laid back. Ever since they woke up, it's been nonstop bickering with us and each other. If I didn't know better, I would think we woke up the wrong people, Sabrina sighed.
Not the happily ever after you were hoping for, huh? Uncle Jake said. Girls, I'm sorry. I think in all the excitement, I've forgotten how important waking them up was to you, and then to have them snapping at everyone. I wish it had been different.
We're coming up on the farms, Daphne said, as she pointed directly in front of them.
Sabrina expected to see long plains of corn and wheat, neatly planted in rows, maybe a silo here and there, the occasional cow mooing at the moon. But what they drifted over was unrecognizable. Much of the farmland was in ruins. The little houses that freckled the fields were ablaze. The Scarlet Hand has been here, Uncle Jake said gravely.
But these are ever-after farms, Daphne said. Why burn them when there are human farms not far away?
These fires are about sending a message to the rest of the ever-afters. Anyone who doesn't join the hand will regret it, Uncle Jake said. His jaw stiffened, and it was obvious to Sabrina that he was now doubly worried about his girlfriend. She was an ever-after, and thus difficult to kill, but as Sabrina had witnessed, it wasn't impossible, especially if the killer was an ever-after, too. Had the hand gotten to her? Once again, Uncle Jake seemed to be listening in on her thoughts. "Can you make this thing go faster?" he said. Daphne nodded and spoke a few words to the carpet. It accelerated, and the ground below whipped by. Uncle Jake nearly fell off the side, but Sabrina did her job and kept him upright. In no time, the group left the farms of Ferryport Landing and darted into the town proper. Daphne slowed the carpet and lowered it so that they hovered only a few feet above the ground. They floated down Main Street, absorbing the shocking scene before them. Stores were gutted with fire, their contents coughed onto the street and smoldering into ash. Old King Cole's restaurant was not much more than a shell, as was the Blue Plate Special Diner. Cars lay on their backs like hunters' trophies. Bicycles were scattered about the street, bent beyond repair. The town's one and only traffic light had snapped off its wire. It lay shattered on the road.
"Get this thing to the coffee shop, now!"
Uncle Jake blurted out. The rug seemed to understand and didn't wait for Daphne's command. It zipped down the street toward the bank of the river where the little shop was located. But when they arrived, all of Sabrina's worst fears were realized. Sacred Grounds was destroyed. The windows were black with soot. The roof had collapsed. All that remained was the sign that once hung over the door, and it had fallen to the ground. A red handprint covered the name. Uncle Jake leaped off the rug before it came to a full stop. He rushed to the shop and threw the door open. A blast of still smoldering fire exploded out, and Uncle Jake fell backward. The girls rushed to his side and helped him to his feet. His face was red from the heat, and it was clear the fall had jarred his shoulder. He could barely stand.
"You can't go in there," Sabrina said.
"I have to," he cried.
Looking for your sweetheart, Jacob?
A voice called out from behind them. The trio spun around to find Sheriff Nottingham glowering beneath a dead streetlight. The flames from the open door illuminated his face, exaggerating his already disgusting scar and causing the red handprint on his chest to cast an eerie glow.
"Where is she, Nottingham?" Jake said, his fists clenched.
"She's dead."
"Or she soon will be," the sheriff said, his white teeth flashing in the flames.
Jake charged the sheriff. Before the villain could pull his weapon, Jake swung widely, and his fist slammed into Nottingham's cheek. The sheriff collapsed to the ground. Bewildered, he grasped for his dagger, aiming it upward at the girl's uncle. Jake didn't give Nottingham a chance to strike. His hands were in his coat pockets before Sabrina could clearly see what was happening. In a flash, Nottingham was enclosed in a perfect green bubble. When Jake lifted his hand, the bubble and its prisoner lifted as well. Nottingham kicked and fought like an angry marionette, but he was completely helpless.
"You've made a terrible mistake, Grimm," the sheriff shrieked.
"The mistake is yours, Nottingham. You think that I am good-natured like my mother, or tough but fair like my father, God rest his soul. But you and the rest of your thugs are wrong."
"Is that so? Then what are you, Jacob?" Nottingham sneered.
"A man who will kill to protect the people he loves."
Nottingham's face grew pale.
"Where is she?"
Jake continued. Nottingham shook his head. Jake swung his arm around, and the bubble followed. He whipped it into an abandoned building. Nottingham slammed into the wall and let out a pained groan. Uncle Jake swung the bubble at a building across the street with similar results. Then he returned Nottingham to the center of the street. The sheriff's nose was covered in blood.
"The mayor and several others have surrounded her home," he groaned. "Her fairy godmothers are fighting them off, but they can't last forever."
A long, rope-like stream appeared at the top of the bubble. It wrapped itself around a streetlight where the sheriff hung like an evil Christmas ornament.
"I'm going to get her, Nottingham," Uncle Jake said. "If she is harmed, I'll be back for you. Think about what I've said. I'm not like the rest of my family."
Nottingham sneered and wiped his bloody nose on his sleeve. Uncle Jake stepped onto the flying carpet. The girls joined him, and Daphne commanded the rug into the air. A second later, they were gone, but not out of trouble. Once they were in the air, Uncle Jake collapsed. Sweat poured down his forehead, and he looked ashen.
"What's wrong?"
Daphne asked, trying to steer the rug and attend to her uncle at the same time.
"It's nothing. Just remind me to punch people with my good arm," he said weakly, then passed out.
"What do we do now?"
Daphne said.
"The sensible thing to do is to go back to the fort and get Uncle Jake back into his cot, but if Nottingham was telling the truth, then Briar is in serious danger. She needs help. But we're just a couple of kids, Daphne. Can we stop an entire mob by ourselves?"
Daphne reached into various pockets in Uncle Jake's jacket and pulled out handfuls of rings, amulets, and wands.
"We're a couple of kids with a whole lot of magic stuff. Do you know how to use any of those?"
Sabrina asked. Daphne shook her head.
"How hard could it be?"
The little girl's eyes were filled with confidence, and perhaps some of her bravery rubbed off on Sabrina. Or maybe she just realized her little sister could accomplish anything she put her mind to. While her father had been treating Daphne like a baby, her skills and talents had become clearer to Sabrina. Maybe it was time to trust her.
"It's your call, then."
Daphne looked stunned.
"Really?"
Sabrina nodded.
"I have more faith in you than anyone I know, Daphne."
Daphne smiled, but it was brief.
"I'm still mad at you."
"I know."
"Carpet, take us to Briar Rose's house and step on it."
The carpet made a sudden turn, and they were off. Daphne gave it instructions while Sabrina attended to her uncle. He looked pale and small in the night sky. His blonde hair fluttered about his sallow face. Sneaking out to save Briar had not been a good idea, but the family as a whole wasn't known for its good ideas. They were all impulsive, Sabrina concluded. Odd that she would start to see how they were all connected at such a time. Why had she never noticed it before? The carpet flew along an old country road, narrowly dodging a speeding pickup truck that was fleeing a vehicle filled with well-armed trolls hanging out of the windows. Sabrina was about to tell Daphne they needed to help the poor pickup driver, but the trolls took a turn too fast and drove into a ravine. They came up over a rise in the road, and Daphne brought the carpet to a slow crawl. Briar's house was a sturdy Victorian, with a round column on each side of the door and a rose window in the center. It was painted sea green and stood out from all the other homes in the neighborhood. Sabrina had been there once with Jake, and she had noticed the attention and care Briar had given the numerous rose bushes that surrounded her home. They were still quite a distance from the house, but she could see those bushes had been trampled by the horde of ever-afters surrounding the house. The mob was made up of goblins, witches, knights, and a near giant, a man nearly 20 feet tall, with an axe to match. He wore a flannel shirt and had a big, bushy red beard that matched the handprint on his enormous chest.
"Paul Bunyan joined the Scarlet Hand," Daphne said.
"I see him," Sabrina replied with a shiver. Giants, even small ones like Bunyan, gave her the willies.
"Look who's leading the pack," Daphne said, pointing to a woman in a gaudy dress decorated with hearts.
Mayor Hart had her electronic megaphone in hand and was barking orders to the mob.
"Do you think Briar is still alive?" Daphne asked,
peering at the trinkets she'd pulled out of her uncle's jacket.
"Absolutely. Look."
A green bolt of electricity shot out of an open window on the second floor. It hit a goblin on the ground, and his fierce metal armor was transformed into a silk gown that reminded Sabrina of the kinds of dresses women wore in movies like Gone with the Wind. The goblin tripped over his giant hoop skirt and tumbled onto his back, unable to right himself. Another blast came out of the window and nailed a troll who found himself sporting a feathery headdress and high heels, like a Las Vegas showgirl. He cried indignantly and shook a mace at the house.
"At least we know her fairy godmothers are here," Daphne said. "Let's go give them some help."
Sabrina thought they should spend some time trying out the magical weapons first, but Daphne urged the carpet forward, and soon they were barreling into the midst of the Scarlet Hand's army. Everyone turned their attention from their attack on Briar's home to the magic carpet. Swords slashed at them, and wands launched deadly spells, each narrowly avoided as the nimble carpet banked and weaved through the crowd.
You want to use one of those magic doohickeys?" Sabrina asked.
"I'm working on it,"
Daphne said, as she slipped on a huge ring with a stone scorpion set inside an emerald.
"Abracadabra!"
The ring popped and sparked like a fork inside a microwave, but did little else. Daphne shrugged and replaced it with a second ring, this one with a small tooth embedded in amber.
"Give me some magic!"
This time there was nothing. Sabrina was starting to worry, especially when the carpet hovered too close to an angry knight in full armor whose sword nearly cut her in two. Without even thinking, she kicked the knight in the helmet and slammed his visor down on his nose. He staggered, finally falling into a rose bush and crying out when the thorns held him fast. The carpet veered away from the mob to a quieter patch of air. Once there, Sabrina turned to her sister, who was working her way through the magic wands.
"Any luck? That knight almost gave me a haircut."
"Hold your horses," Daphne said.
The wand she held was made of little red jewels, fused together like a long stick of rock candy. Daphne waved it in the air, and it started to glow.
"Now we're talking."
"What's it do?"
Sabrina cried, as Paul Bunyan's gigantic axe came crashing down only inches from the carpet. Daphne shrugged.
"Your guess is as good as mine. Okay, wand, shrink everyone."
There was nothing. Daphne frowned.
"Set something on fire."
Nothing.
"Freeze the bad guys."
Zilch.
"Shoot everyone with electricity."
Nada. Daphne snarled and shook it, as if perhaps its batteries were dead.
"This thing is for the birds."
Suddenly, an eerie hum came from the wand, and a flash of light blinded Sabrina.
"No way!"
Daphne exclaimed, her eyes big with surprise.
"What?"
"Okay, don't be mad. I didn't know it would do that," Daphne said.
"What?" "Take a look at your back," Daphne mumbled.
Sabrina craned her neck over her shoulder and choked out a scream. On her back was a set of huge white wings. The feathers bristled and fluttered in the wind, and when she tensed up, they flapped.
"Oh, no! Change me back! I can't go through life with wings!"
"It's not the wings that's the problem," Daphne said. "It's the beak."
Sabrina crossed her eyes and saw that her nose and mouth had been replaced with a hard golden beak with a hooked tip. She screamed, but what came out sounded an awful lot like a squawk.
"Fix it!"
At that moment, Mayor Hart's voice ripped through the air, courtesy of her electronic megaphone.
"They're only children! Attack the house until backup gets here!"
"I wonder who the backup is,"
Daphne said, steering the rug out of the way of a flying spear.
"Who cares? I look like Big Bird,"
Sabrina complained. She could feel feathers sprouting along her arms and legs.
"Okay, okay,"
Daphne cried. She flicked the wand at Sabrina and said,
"Change her back."
But nothing happened.
"Okay, let's not panic."
"Not panic? Listen, I'm starting to get a craving for worms. I think it's definitely time to panic."
Daphne steered the carpet back toward the crowd, flying low and buzzing the tops of their heads. With one hand, she removed her sneaker and did her best to wallop a few as they zipped by.
"I realize this is inconvenient, but you need to focus. We're here to rescue Briar Rose."
Sabrina scowled as her feet ripped through her shoes, revealing tough, spiky talons. She stood up and realized her entire lower body was now that of a fat, pear-shaped goose. She looked down at her hands, only to find they were no longer there. They had vanished inside the feathers of her wings. It was official. She was a bird.
"Excuse me if I'm a little distracted. Honk!"
Sabrina was horrified by the sound she had just made and hoped it had been her imagination. Daphne looked just as startled.
"Did I?"
"Yeah, you honked,"
Daphne said as she smacked a few more trolls with her shoe.
"Try to think of the bright side. At least Puck isn't here to see this. He'd never let you forget it."
Uncle Jake began to groan. He opened his eyes slowly and peered around. Sabrina saw his face twisted in confusion. She tried to ask him how he felt, but in her excitement, she let out a series of honks. Startled, Jake shoved Sabrina off the rug in midair with a "Shoo!"
"No!"
Sabrina cried as she plummeted toward the ground. In desperation, she flapped her wings as hard as she could. The action seemed to slow her, and she found she could control her direction. Without thinking, she sailed face first through an open window and crashed to the floor, tumbling and sliding to a stop. When she was on her feet, she turned to call for Briar, only to find the two fairy godmothers standing over her, wands drawn. Buzzflower and Mallowbarb were stout women with serious faces. Their threatening eyes told her everything she needed to know. Sabrina had better not move a muscle, or a feather in this case.
"Take your filthy, traitorous bottom out of here, goose, and tell the rest of the Scarlet Hand they're going to have to send more than a bird if they want to take us down,"
Buzzflower said, her voice fierce.
"I'm not a goose,"
Sabrina cried.
"Well, you aren't a Bengal tiger," said Mallowbarb.
"I'm Sabrina Grimm," she honked. "I'm here to rescue you."
The fairy godmothers looked at one another in disbelief, then back at Sabrina.
"Really? Listen, my uncle is here, and my sister, too."
"Jake is here?" Buzzflower said.
"He is?" a voice said from down the hall.
A moment later, Briar Rose raced into the room. Even distressed, Briar was a vision. She had green eyes and skin like cocoa. She was enchanting, except for the baseball bat she held threateningly.
"Where is he?"
Sabrina pointed out the window with her wing just as the flying carpet zipped past.
"So, what's the plan?"
Buzzflower said. "Yeah, plan. We hadn't really gotten that far," Sabrina said.
"Great," Mallowbarb said sarcastically. "What we need is a distraction. If we can get those lunatics outside to focus on something other than the house, we can fly Briar out of here ourselves."
"Sounds good to me," Sabrina said. "What do you have in mind?"
"I think a giant goose might confuse them for a bit," Buzzflower said.
"You want me to fly out the window and let them shoot at me?"
The fairy godmothers nodded.
"I could be killed."
The fairy godmothers nodded again.
"No," Briar said. "She's right. This is too dangerous. Those people out there intend to kill someone. If something were to happen to Sabrina, I could never live with myself."
Sabrina peered out the window. Her sister was still buzzing the crowd, but seemed to have had no more success with Jake's magical possessions than before.
"Okay, I'll do it. But I haven't mastered flying yet since I've only been a bird for 5 minutes. If I manage to stay in the air, you have to act fast. Get out as soon as you can."
Briar looked nervous but agreed.
"But where are we going to go, even if we do escape? The town is overrun by the Scarlet Hand. Prince Charming and Mr. Canis have built a camp. We'll take you there,"
Sabrina said, returning her attention to the window.
"Good luck,"
Buzzflower said.
"Here goes nothing,"
Sabrina said, as she leaped out the window and flapped her wings as hard as she could. She would have described the experience as awkward and unnatural, but she had no time to contemplate her situation. Her appearance drew the full ferocity of the crowd, and before she could react, dozens of arrows, magical blasts, and even an electronic megaphone were flying right at her. She dodged the best she could, feeling a spear clip her tail feathers. It startled her, and she landed awkwardly on the head of a hobgoblin. Enraged, the creature tried to clobber her with his lumpy club, but she leaped off and landed on the head of another hobgoblin. The first brute brought his club down on his colleague's head just after Sabrina leaped onto another. Not wanting to wait for another assault, she leaped off the startled head of the third hobgoblin onto a fourth, then a fifth. Then she landed in the beehive hairdo of the Queen of Hearts, who screamed and slapped at Sabrina. Instinctively, Sabrina pecked at the mayor's hands and leaped into the air. She flapped wildly and, much to her surprise, rose into the air and away from the mob. When she turned her head to look over her shoulder, she spotted Buzzflower and Mallowbarb lifting Briar Rose out of the window and into the air, a stream of magical dust floating behind them. The trio floated off to the shelter of the woods that bordered Briar's property. Sabrina found Daphne and Uncle Jake, who had slipped back into unconsciousness. She angled her wings so that she could fly alongside them, and together they rose high enough to be out of danger.
"Briar and her fairy godmothers are out of the house," Sabrina said. "Have you figured out that wand yet?"
"I think," Daphne said.
Just then, the mayor's wretched voice filled the air.
"Don't follow the traitors! We'll let the pack handle them."
"The pack? What's the pack?"
Daphne asked. Before anyone could hazard a guess, the temperature of the air rose dramatically. It was accompanied by a sticky, humid cloud that invaded all of Sabrina's pores. There was a sound like a hurricane crashing through a strip mall, and then something as big as a jumbo jet flew overhead. It flew by at such an incredible speed, all Sabrina could see were red wings and a long tail, and then it was gone.
What was that?" Daphne asked.
Sabrina wasn't sure, but she knew anything that big and that fast couldn't be good. Worse still, it was not alone. A second creature appeared in the sky. This one was green and covered in black spikes. It had bulbous yellow eyes that scanned the sky.
"There's another one,"
Daphne cried, pointing to a third creature that had appeared in the west. This one was purple and slightly bigger, with bird-like talons and a white snout. Fire blasted out of its nostrils and lit up the sky.
"Are those dragons?"
Sabrina gasped, flying out of the way of the green one's leathery wings.
Her answer came in the form of a crackling voice broadcast from a megaphone far below her.
"Dragons, your target and her cohorts have fled into the woods," the mayor bellowed. "Retrieve them any way you can. Bringing them back alive is not necessary."
The creatures turned their massive bodies in the direction of the woods and flew over it with amazing speed. They blasted several areas with fire, as if to clear the trees for a better glimpse of their prey.
"We need to find Briar and the fairy godmothers before they do," Daphne said, as the flying carpet dipped into the trees below.
Sabrina tilted her wings and followed, surprised by how easily flight was coming to her. If she hadn't been on the edge of terror, she might have actually enjoyed the sensation. Flying beneath the canopy of trees made navigating much harder. Several branches scraped her soft belly, and a few lashed across her face. Daphne seemed to be having the same problem, and the trees got denser as they flew farther into the forest. Soon, Sabrina spotted Briar and her fairy godmothers hurrying along through the bramble. The girls flew alongside of them and stopped.
"They've sent dragons after you," Sabrina said. "We need to get you out of here now."
"Dragons?" Briar cried. "Where did they get dragons?"
"We can worry about that later," Daphne said as she lowered the rug. "Briar should climb on board with me. Buzzflower and Mallowbarb will have a better chance of escaping by air."
"She's right," Buzzflower said as she took out her wand. "And they might find we're a little harder to kill, too."
Briar climbed on the rug and knelt down next to Uncle Jake.
"He looks so weak." "This camp you spoke of," Mallowbarb said. "Where is it?"
"At the farthest edge of the barrier," Sabrina explained. "If we get separated and show up first, I'll let Charming know you're on your way, but we don't have a lot of time to talk."
She had no idea how right she was. At that moment, the purple dragon's head dipped down from above. It studied the group. A blast of hot breath scorched everyone.
"What do we do?"
Sabrina whispered, wiping the sweat from her face with one wing.
"Just get out of here!" Daphne shouted.
And at once everyone scattered. They hadn't moved a second too soon. The dragon opened its mouth and roasted the area with flames. Sabrina sailed into the air, flying higher and higher. Getting above the scene seemed to make sense to her. It would allow her to survey the area and keep an eye on the monsters. When she felt she was high enough, she tilted her body a little and moved in a wide circle. She could see the entire forest. Daphne, Jake, and Briar Rose were racing in the direction of the town, and the two fairy godmothers were firing magical attacks at the dragons. She had to give her sister credit. Daphne was leading them for the first time, and everyone was still alive. She couldn't have done better herself. Unfortunately, her feeling of security was short-lived. She looked down to see the red dragon rising from the ground like a missile, its deadly mouth open wide and closing in on her. She flapped furiously to the left, narrowly missing the jaws that clamped down just inches away from her. The creature's gnashing teeth sounded like a 20-car pileup. She flew as hard and as fast as she could, but the dragon was in pursuit and gaining. If only Daphne had changed her into a faster bird. She flew to the left, then to the right, with the monster's broiling breath scorching her little goose feet. No matter where she went, it followed. Even when she sank into the trees, the dragon blasted through them, pulverizing huge oaks and giant maples like a child running through grass. She knew she couldn't keep her pace for long. She was already tired, and the tree limbs kept clipping her wings, making it impossible to coast on the breeze. Then, one of the branches caught her across the chest, and she tumbled to the ground. The fall knocked the wind out of her. With her breath gone, the best she could do was stagger to her feet and hop along the forest floor. The red dragon landed in her path, and its head dipped down to look at her. Its milky yellow eyes had two sets of lids, like a crocodile's, and when they focused on her, she could hear the creature let out a satisfied chuckle. It reared its head back, inhaling oxygen into its mouth and nose, apparently fueling the furnace inside it. Sabrina knew there was nothing she could do to escape.
and she braced herself for death.
"Run, child,"
a voice said from above. Sabrina looked up to see Buzzflower floating above the dragon's head. She waved a wand at the creature, and a bolt of blue energy exploded into the dragon's chest. The dragon screeched and fell backward. Buzzflower turned to Sabrina.
"Run!"
Sabrina fled into the woods as fast as her legs would allow. She heard a horrible roar and turned to see flames rising up into the trees. She hoped that Buzzflower had not been the target of the fire and feared the worst when she felt the beast stomping behind her. She heard more fiery blasts and angry roars, and then it was in front of her, using its tail to knock down huge swaths of forest. It turned toward her, eyes focusing, and this time there was no chuckle. This time it was impatient. Sabrina looked right at the creature.
"Fine! You want to kill me? I'm right here. But if you were looking for a trophy for killing a Grimm, you won't get it. I'm weakened by this stupid spell. If I was my normal self, you would never catch me."
"You speak gibberish, child,"
the dragon said, his voice like a thousand volcanoes exploding at once. "Child? How did he know she was a child?" She looked down, wondering if he could see her true self through her magical transformation, and realized her feathers were gone. Her wings had vanished. Even the hard yellow beak was nowhere to be found. The magic had worn off, and she was herself again.
"Okay, good," she grumbled. "Just in time to be roasted like a marshmallow." "Not tonight, big sister," a voice said, and suddenly she was hoisted upward and onto the flying carpet.
Before Sabrina could hug Daphne, they darted away, with the monster roaring in frustration.
"Hey, you changed back," Daphne said. "See, I told you it was temporary."
"You did not," Sabrina said, trying to get her bearings.
"Well, I meant to,"
Daphne said. She turned to Briar Rose, who held Uncle Jake's head in her lap.
"Briar, we need all the magic we can get. Can you dig in his pockets and see if there's anything we can use to fight these dragons?"
"Preferably something with instructions," Sabrina added. Briar pulled out small bottles of strange liquids, weird rings, and even a smelly fur hat. She laid them all on the rug for Daphne and Sabrina to examine.
"Anything?"
Daphne shook her head.
"I don't recognize any of that stuff. Wait, there's something else here,"
the princess said as she pulled a small felt box from her boyfriend's jacket. She flipped it open, and her face lit up like a candle.
"What is it?"
Daphne asked.
"Please tell me it's the world's tiniest rocket launcher,"
Sabrina said. Briar reached inside and took out a bright diamond ring. It was emerald cut and mounted on a platinum band.
"Is that?"
Daphne gasped as she watched Briar Rose slip it on her ring finger. Though she was laughing and smiling widely, Briar's cheeks were wet with tears.
"Yes,"
she cried.
"Yes, I will marry you, Jacob Grimm." "You might want to wait until he's awake,"
Sabrina said.
"You may be right,"
Briar giggled, took off the ring and put it back in its box. Then she slipped it back into Uncle Jake's pocket. Mallowbarb joined them, flying alongside with a trail of glitter falling behind.
"My wand has almost no effect on them," she said. "It's only making them angry."
"Making who angry?"
Uncle Jake said blearily as he tried to sit up.
"The dragons," Daphne said. "Three of them are chasing us." "Look what happens when you take a nap,"
Briar teased.
"Briar, you've been crying," Uncle Jake said, taking her hand.
"Here comes one now,"
Mallowbarb shouted. Jake had Briar and Sabrina help him to his feet. He reached into his jacket and removed a small black coin. He rubbed his hand over it for a moment and it began to spin. The spinning increased until a ferocious wind surrounded them. Luckily, the spell didn't seem to affect them, or Sabrina knew she would be swept right off the flying carpet. Uncle Jake clenched the coin tight, and when the first of the dragons, the green one, got close enough, he tossed it into its open mouth.
Bolts of lightning poked out from inside its jaws, then erupted out of its fat belly. The dragon fell out of the sky, but before it hit the ground, an enormous hole opened in its torso, and the creature exploded.
Gross,
Daphne said.
Next time, warn a person you're going to blow a dragon up in front of her. I'm going to have bad dreams until I'm 100 years old.
Sorry, Uncle Jake said. Now for the other two.
Shouldn't we just try to outrun them?
Sabrina asked. You can't outrun a dragon, Brina, her uncle said. I've tried. The purple dragon circled above them, then dove like a kamikaze pilot. The carpet easily dodged its attack, but the monster was not discouraged. It swooped back to try an attack from below. Once again, Daphne proved her skill at steering the carpet. Land this thing, Uncle Jake said.
Is that a good idea?
Briar Rose said. No, but we won't last long in the air, he replied. Daphne, take us down. Daphne did as she was told, landing in a clearing surrounded by heavy trees. Once they were on the ground, Uncle Jake shooed everyone from the rug and told Malobarb to take them all to shelter. Use whatever protection spell you have in your wand, he said. Malobarb looked surprised by Uncle Jake's commanding tone. A frown came to her face, but Briar tugged on her arm.
Don't argue. Just this once, don't argue.
Malobarb forced a phony smile onto her face and did as she was told. Just as the group reached the safety of the trees, the purple dragon slammed into the ground right in front of Uncle Jake. He didn't even flinch. In fact, he smiled.
You are either brave or stupid, the dragon croaked.
Maybe a little bit of both, Uncle Jake replied.
You know I'm about to roast your bones, and you don't run?
No need, he said, as he began digging into his pockets. I've got the Amulet of Runa. It will turn your bad breath into a cool summer breeze.
You lie,
the dragon said. No, it's right here. I mean, it's in one of these pockets, he said, fumbling nervously. Sabrina noticed the handful of rings and necklaces in Daphne's hand.
Could one of those be the Amulet of Runa?
Daphne cringed.
Uncle Jake, what does the Amulet of Runa look like?
It's a black necklace with a silver crescent moon. The moon has a carving in it that looks like a puff of wind. Daphne sorted through the items she had taken from Jake's pockets. She held up a necklace that looked exactly like the one her uncle had just described.
Uh-oh. Uncle Jake, you might want to go with Plan B. We have the Amulet of Runa,
Sabrina cried.
Fudge,
Uncle Jake said, as he shoved his hand into another pocket. It was the only word he could get out before the dragon blasted him with flame. Sabrina shrieked as she watched the fire engulf her uncle.
No!
Briar Rose cried. She raced to his side, but there was nothing she could do. Jake's body looked like a piece of charcoal, his features reduced to that of a volcanic rock. Tears squirted out of Sabrina's eyes, and sobs filled her ears. Her sister was trembling and in hysterics. Briar collapsed. Malobarb attended to her, but she was just as shaken. Her face cracked and confused. And then the fire was gone. The forest was full of smoke, and cinders burned Sabrina's eyes.
We should go, Malobarb said.
Go? Briar Rose cried. I can't go!
Princess, he is gone. If we stay, we will all join him,
Malobarb said. Sabrina shook her head. If they wanted her to leave, then they would have to carry her away. She turned back to the spot where her uncle had stood. She was prepared to fight the dragon with her bare hands, but Briar was already there, kicking and punching at its huge feet. The dragon looked down and laughed, then swatted her away like she were an insect. She slammed into a tree. There was a sickly cracking sound, and then she collapsed to the ground like a rag doll.
Briar!
Malobarb cried and rushed to her side. Sabrina tore her attention away from Briar and back to the dragon. He could easily do the same to her and her sister. As the smoke dissipated around her uncle, she saw something that should have been impossible. The black shell that covered Jake cracked and broke. Pieces fell off and crumbled to dust on the ground. Inside the shell was Uncle Jake, unhurt and whole. In his hand was a dark green crystal glowing like a small star. "My turn," Uncle Jake said. He reached into one of his pockets with his free hand and pulled out a long broadsword. In one quick motion, he shoved it under the dragon's chin, easily slicing through the creature's steel-strong skin. The dragon let out a muffled cry, and then with a ground-shaking thud, fell over dead. "Luckily, I also have an invulnerability stone," Jake said. High above, the red dragon roared in rage. "You want some?" He laughed as the dragon flew off, either to protect itself or warn its masters. "That's what I thought, punk!" Buzzflower flew into the clearing. She looked frazzled. When she saw Mallowbarb hovering over Briar, she cried out and flew to them.
"No!"
she shouted. She waved her magic wand over the fallen princess, and a stream of colors and lights flooded into her. But Mallowbarb held her hand and forced her to stop. "What happened?" Uncle Jake said, rushing to the group.
"She's gone, Jacob," Mallowbarb said.
Uncle Jake fell to Briar's side and cradled her broken body in his arms. He buried his face in her hair and wept.
"No, no, no!"
Sabrina and Daphne stood on the edge of the clearing. For the first time in days, they hugged each other like sisters. They shook their heads in disbelief, and their tears fell on the charred ground.